It's 8 o'clock here in Paris, 7 o'clock Universal Time. You're listening to Radio France International. Good morning and welcome to Paris Live if you're just joining us. It's Monday the 19th of November. I'm Imogen Lam. The headlines. Israeli bombing raids continue this morning in Gaza. Latest reports say 7 people were killed this morning, just hours after the deadliest day of violence so far, in which 31 people died, including women and children. Rebels in the Democratic Republic of Congo launch a major offensive over the weekend and are now on the outskirts of the eastern city of Goma. The battle to succeed former President Nicolas Sarkozy at the helm of France's main opposition party, the UMP, is still undecided after both candidates claim victory amid allegations of ballot rigging. And US President Barack Obama meets Myanmar's President Thanh Nguyen and opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi during a landmark visit to Yangon. Coming up, as thousands of members of religious groups with links to the Sudanese government meet in the Khartoum, in the capital Khartoum, an Oxford University political scientist will be explaining why they're unhappy with President Omar al-Bashir. We have a special report on today's World Toilet Day from Singapore, where the cleanliness of toilets is taken very seriously. And Paul Myers will be here with the sports news. UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon is on his way to the Middle East today to appeal for a ceasefire in the current conflict in Gaza. This as 7 people were killed early this morning in new Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. One of them was a 5-year-old boy. The strikes came after a night that saw Israeli warplanes destroy a Gaza City police station and as Navy ships kept up sustained fire at the Gaza shore. Multiple raids yesterday killed 31 people in the bloodiest day of Israel's bombing campaign. At least 85 people have been killed since the Israeli airstrikes began last Wednesday. Press freedom groups worldwide have condemned the bombing of a building used by local journalists. And an airstrike on a house belonging to a Hamas official killed 11 members of his family. Ruth Michelson reports from the Gaza Strip on some of yesterday's strikes.
Emergency services and local people rushed to pull bodies from the rubble of what was previously a 3-story building on Sunday evening. It was reportedly the home of Hamas official Jamal Abdullou before being targeted by Israeli forces. At least 6 of those who were killed in the blast were women and children. One of Dalou's neighbors, speaking anonymously, expressed his disbelief at the attack.
I don't know why. But in fact, there is no humanity in the Israelis. That's all.
As efforts intensified to pull the final 2 bodies from the rubble, residents of another house less than 200 meters away shouted to the crowd that they had received a text message from Israeli forces telling them that their house would also be struck. The crowd fled, but the attack never came. Israeli airstrikes, naval and tank shelling pounded Gaza, targeting the densely populated areas of al-Nusayrat and Jabalia refugee camps, as well as close to the Rafah crossing and several districts within Gaza City itself. Israeli military chief Benny Gantz instructed forces on Sunday to increase attacks on what he termed terror targets in Gaza. Ruth Michelson, RFI, Gaza.
US President Barack Obama has again stressed that Israel has a right to defend itself from rocket attacks by Palestinian militants. Speaking in Thailand yesterday, Obama blamed Hamas for starting the current conflict.
So I've had several conversations with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I've had several conversations with President Morsi of Egypt. I've spoken to Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey, who was visiting Egypt right in the midst of what was happening in Gaza. My message to all of them was that Israel has every right to expect that it does not have missiles fired into its territory. If that can be accomplished without a ramping up of military activity in Gaza, that's preferable.
French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius was in Israel yesterday for a one-day visit during which he called for an immediate ceasefire between all parties in the Gaza crisis. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says rebels have taken control of part of a strategic army base they have besieged for weeks in the northern province of Aleppo. It says the rebels also captured at least 25 regime soldiers during clashes with the military at the base. The observatory says at least 50 people were killed across Syria yesterday. Here in France, the battle to succeed former President Nicolas Sarkozy at the helm of the country's main opposition party, the UMP, is still undecided after both candidates claimed a victory amid allegations of ballot rigging. Jean-François Copé, the party's secretary general, claimed a clear win, while former Prime Minister François Fillon said he believed he'd won the contest, subject to confirmation by the Electoral Commission, which oversaw the poll. Both camps claimed there had been irregularities in voting in several departments, and it's unclear how long it will take the Electoral Commission to check the voting and announce a winner. The vote came 6 months after Sarkozy's presidential election defeat by socialist François Hollande. MP for the UMP party, Jacques Myard, says Fillon is the best choice to move the party forward.
Mr. Fillon, he has the best elements, the best characteristic to gather all the French UMP militants, but beyond that, to gather all the French who want to have a change and who are especially disappointed by Mr. Hollande, who promises everything and now is just making a turnpike and doing a policy which is exactly the opposite of what he has been promising.
U.S. President Barack Obama met Myanmar's President Thanh Nguyen and opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi today during a landmark visit to Yangon. Obama is the first serving U.S. president to travel to Myanmar. His visit is aimed at encouraging political reform. And Aung San Suu Kyi sounded a note of caution over Myanmar's rapid political reforms, this after her talks with Obama. She warned of the risk of what she called a mirage of success. Human rights groups have called the visit premature in a country besieged by escalating ethnic violence and restricted freedoms. In Thailand yesterday, Obama outlined the reasons for his visit to Myanmar.
One of the goals of this trip is to highlight the progress that has been made, but also to give voice to the much greater progress that needs to be made in the future. And, you know, I'm not somebody who thinks that the United States should stand on the sidelines and not want to get its hands dirty when there's an opportunity for us to encourage the better impulses inside a country.
And in news just in, unconfirmed sources say that 44 political prisoners have been freed in Myanmar. This was ahead of Obama's visit today. Human rights groups are calling on Obama to urge a peaceful resolution to the deadly conflict in Rakhine State. Ethnic violence between the Rohingya Muslim and Rakhine Buddhist communities is high on the agenda of the Summit of Southeast Asian Nations in Cambodia, which Obama will join later today. Speaking from Yangon, Chris Lewa, founder of the Arakan Project, told RFI that the government is reportedly coercing Muslims into stating their citizenship as part of a scrutiny exercise, but many are displaced and don't have the necessary documents.
Another issue of concern is that since last week, the government has set up a committee to scrutinize Muslim people on the issue of citizenship. It is extremely worrying because most of the people are being asked to fill up forms to show that they have been living in the country for a long time and have been displaced and have lost everything. The media has reported this scrutiny exercise as an operation to identify illegal migrants. Many people apparently refused to sign the form. We heard some of them have been beaten by authorities and told that they will not receive aid if they don't sign the form. So we see a form of coercion there.
Rebels in the Democratic Republic of Congo launched a major offensive over the weekend and are now on the outskirts of the eastern city of Goma. The rebels, known as the M23, are now some 3 kilometres outside the provincial capital of North Kivu. It's the closest they've ever been to the town since launching their rebellion last April. Yesterday, UN combat helicopters fired on the advancing rebels, forcing them to halt. But the rebels say they don't intend to take the town unless they're attacked. The rebels' advance on the city of Goma has sent thousands of people fleeing. Tarek Ribal, Oxfam humanitarian coordinator, says tens of thousands of displaced people have abandoned camps in the north of the city to avoid the advancing rebels.
Where the current stalemate is just outside the airport, we had one of the biggest camps in North Kivu. with people that had previously fled the area of Rutshuru once it had been taken by M23. We had about 30,000 IDPs and 20,000 local host populations there. We are pretty certain that all those people have fled from that area into Goma and beyond Goma to the other side of town to camps that are on that other side of town. So we're talking of at least 50,000 people probably that have fled.
In Kenya, an explosion in Nairobi's eastly suburb killed at least five people yesterday. A bomb was thrown inside a public minibus in the mainly Somali neighborhood. There have been numerous attacks in Eastleigh this year carried out by Al-Shabaab sympathizers opposed the Kenyan troop deployment in neighboring Somalia. Some people in Nairobi blame the attack on ethnic Somalis who are Muslim. Many Eastleigh residents have locked themselves up in their homes for fear of reprisals. RFI's Michelle Arsenault reached Anisha, a Somali Kenyan, who says she saw the body of a teenager who had been hacked to death.
The Somali community is being attacked. We've seen a boy who is about 16 years of age who's been killed. We've seen the body. We were not there when he was attacked. He's been cut down in pangas. The neighbor's son is still missing. She cannot trace him, so we don't know what has happened to him. We cannot even leave the house because we are fearing for our lives. So we've locked ourselves up with our kids. My friends, some of them live around the blast area. Some of them have come with their kids to my place. So we don't know what's next. So.
How many people are at your place now?
I have two of my friends with their kids from like 4 years of age to 10.
Why are ethnic Somalis being blamed for this?
We always be associated with terrorists, but we are not. Because most of us are Kenyan Somalis.
Is it because you're Muslim?
Maybe it could have the religious aspect in it as well. Because Muslims have always been associated with the terrorist attacks.
Are the security forces present?
They're present. Actually, we've seen it on TV. They're trying to calm down the citizens, but they're not really doing a good job because we've seen people's shops being wrecked. People are looting properties and people are being attacked in homes.
And how does all of this make you feel as an ethnic Somali yourself?
We're in panic. We don't know what to expect. We are fearing for our lives. Basically, we're just in panic.
Here in France, protests continued around the country yesterday for the second day against the government's plans to allow homosexuals to marry and adopt children. The demonstration in Paris was organized by the Catholic group Civitas. It was marred by violence after a small group of protesters attacked members of the Ukrainian-based feminist group Femen, who showed up topless and partially dressed as nuns to oppose the demonstration. Several journalists were also attacked.